This is Pippa Harbin welcoming you to another edition of 24 Hours. And in today's programme, reaction to the news of an agreement in the talks on Rhodesia. Why American miners are still on strike after 10 weeks. The background to a wave of violence in Zambia. And the chances for a settlement in Britain's dispute with Argentina over the Falkland Islands. We'll also be taking our regular look at the editorial columns of today's British newspapers. First, Rhodesia. And the news that Premier Ian Smith and the three black nationalist leaders based within the country have reached agreement in principle on a plan that will give the country majority rule. Here's my...
It's taken 10 weeks of talk so far. It's taken 10 weeks of talk so far, and there's still a long... Oh, shit. Had to cut that one out. It's taken 10 weeks of talk so far, and there's still a long way to go. But it does seem that there's been some sort of agreement on the thorny question of white representation in a predominantly black parliament, which has deadlocked the talk so far. It seems that out of its 100 members, there will be 28 Europeans, 20 of them elected by their fellow whites, and the other 8 elected through a complicated system involving white and black voters. So, after nearly 100 years of white rule in Rhodesia, this is the breakthrough that the world's been waiting for. Zan Smiley, editor of Africa Confidential.
I think we have to be very wary at this stage of saying that a settlement is around the corner. There are a lot of things still to be thrashed out between the two sides, but I think definitely there has been a breakthrough on this very crucial but apparently niggling point of how the white seats in the new assembly are elected. And it seems that, according to Mr. Smith at any rate, neither side has had to climb down, and there's been some very complicated arrangement, which we don't quite know about yet, which has enabled both sides to achieve what they have apparently been aiming for.
But what happens if an internal settlement excludes the participation of the Patriotic Front, whose forces are now waging a guerrilla war within Rhodesia? Their leaders, Joshua Nkomo and Robert Mugabe, have been involved in their own talks with Britain and America.
Any settlement of this kind between moderate blacks and Mr. Smith without the guerrillas certainly will not end the war. That's one thing that's certain. In fact, the war may very well intensify, but the proof of the pudding will be in the eating. And that means, will the black civilians, on whom the guerrillas totally depend for their support, continue to give their support to the guerrillas? Will they think that this settlement, whatever it is a con trick? Or will they think they're fed up with war, the blacks have now at least got a foot in the door, they may not have total power. Will the black civilians think that it's good enough?
Zan Smiley. But even if Rhodesia's blacks abandon their support of the front, what of the 51 African states who have proclaimed their opposition in advance to any internal settlement? A point put by Douglas Stewart to John Davis, the British Conservative opposition spokesman on foreign affairs.
I think it must be pointed out that what we are looking for is a peaceful settlement which the majority of people in Rhodesia wish to have. Now, I don't think that 51 African peoples can resist a large majority of Rhodesian people saying, yes, this is what they want. And I don't think we could put ourselves in a position of siding ourselves with people who are against it.
Should the Foreign Secretary then, in your view, now abandon the plan for a settlement which he worked out with the Americans?
Not necessarily. I think that there are parts of the proposals which the Anglo-American initiative comprised which are quite adaptable to an internal settlement, and I would very much hope that people at this stage would be having their eyes really clearly directed towards getting the best peaceful solution they can. And that means to say not having prejudices, nor positions of, personal ambition and the like involved in it at all.
John Davis, MP. It has been suggested that one way to bring together both the Anglo-American and the Rhodesian plans for a settlement might be to persuade the Patriotic Front to join in a modified internal settlement. Zan Smiley again.
That certainly isn't out of the question. It is certainly no secret, although it's never been publicly made knowledge, that the British all along would very much like, one way or another, to bring some of the guerrillas into perhaps an enlarged, watered-down version of Mr. Smith's settlement plan. In particular, Joshua Nkomo, who is really the more conservative wing of the Patriotic Front, has always been put up as a possibility for crossing the floor, so to speak, and joining the Smith-Muzorewa pact at the last minute. And again, I think Joshua Nkomo, who's a very shrewd political operator, will wait and see how the black civilian population respond to these talks before he makes a move one way or another.
Mr. Nkomo, however, has already reacted to news of the settlement agreement by saying it won't work and won't undermine guerrilla attempts to topple the government. So far, Britain is withholding comment until she's studied details of the plan. But American reaction has been less restrained. One State Department spokesman said the agreement appeared unacceptable because it was made without the participation of the Patriotic Front. And United States Ambassador to the United Nations, Andrew Young, said he feared the settlement could lead to a black-on-black civil war. But what did former Assistant Secretary of State George Ball think the United States' considered reaction would be?
I would hope that we would applaud the settlement and simply use what influence we have with the Patriotic Front leaders to bring them along. And I would hope that the United Kingdom government would do exactly the same thing. It seems to me that once this settlement has been reached, that it would be rather foolish to encourage the Patriotic Front leaders in the hope that a settlement can be worked out through them. And on this, it seems to me, be essential that the United States and Great Britain follow the same line, particularly because we regard this fundamentally as a British responsibility, and we would much rather follow a British lead than try to provide one of our own.
George Ball. And Rhodesia looms predictably large in today's newspapers, as we hear now from Frederick Payne.
In an editorial on this